The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Josh Blake of KNEI Radio in Waukon and Dale Wagner of the Sac Sun. The first question will come from KNEI's Josh.
Sure. Greetings.
Yeah.
How are things going today?
Well, listen, if we were going to get done at a reasonable hour so I could get on a plane tomorrow to be at the opening of the cellulosic ethanol plant in Nevada, where I've been planning to go for 4 or 5 months, you know what? We're going to be in session into Friday. I don't know how far into Friday, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make that. So I'm disappointed from that standpoint.
Definitely. Well, my first question is your thoughts and everything on Mr. Paul Ryan and the new speaker. Give us a little thought on that.
Well, he's benefited from something that Boehner accomplished his last 48 hours in office, and that is to get us over the debt ceiling hurdle and reach a broad agreement with the White House on expenditures, not only for 2016, but getting us into 2017 as well. And that's quite a move. So I think that we have a wonderful opportunity for a honeymoon in the House of Representatives. And that honeymoon ought to help us to move some very important things, even in an election year. Dale Wagner?
Yep. Good afternoon. With that new deal there, there was some concern from the agriculture sector about changes to the crop insurance provisions. Could you give us a little rundown on that and your feelings on that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me give you my feelings that have been alleviated to some extent, but a disgust with after you spend 2 years writing a farm bill and crop insurance being a major part of risk management for the farmers of the Midwest, well, all over, as far as that's concerned. And then you want to bring some certainty to agriculture and have them come in, them meaning three or four leaders, come in and say, we're going to take $3 billion out of crop insurance. That was enough to tell me that something isn't right. Now, in the meantime, through various kinds of head-to-head talks, probably small group talks, and I think also the people that put this plan together realized that it was going to be in trouble if they whacked crop insurance. They've promised us that in upcoming appropriation bills, we will be able to, those of us on the Agriculture Committee, well, and we've said that we could find $3 billion in agriculture department without hurting crop insurance. Now, none of that is in legislative language, but it's a commitment that's been made. So I hope we're over the hurdle of maybe farmers being mistreated compared to earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, other natural disasters, even some political disasters like an embargo or something like that, all beyond the farmer's control. And so you have these other natural disasters. How are they financed? They're financed 100% with taxpayers' dollars, whereas crop insurance is financed maybe about 40% by taxpayers' dollars. In the meantime, if you ruin crop insurance, then farmers are going to forget about crop insurance. Might as well go back to disaster aid that we used to get when we had a drought and then let the taxpayers 100%. So this is better for the taxpayers, better for the farmers, and risk management is better than not managing risk at all. Josh?
Sure. Quick little update on ISIS. I mean, in the news, we're not really hearing much about it, but it's still a big threat. Is the U.S. military planning to step up or change direction on fighting ISIS at all?
That is what the Secretary of Defense announced about 4 or 5 days ago. And I don't know any details. I'm sure it's not going to be American soldiers in the front line, but probably a more active role than they've had in the past, but can't define that. But I think in a way so that airstrikes will be more profitable. You send airplanes in, two-thirds of them don't unload their weapons. And most of that's because there's not people on the ground telling them where the best place to hit is. That's from intelligence or from observation or whatever you want to, wherever you get information that certain number of leaders are or where a certain amount of equipment is that might be destroyed. And I think maybe it means that American people are going to be more in that role of telling our own planes where to fight. Now, there's one other aspect that I think you need to be, that you didn't ask about, but that's tomorrow, I think it is. Kerry and several other foreign ministers are going to get together. That'd be Russia, Iran, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. I don't know how many countries are involved, to try to see if there's a political settlement to Syria, and that could involve some progress in eliminating ISIS from Syria. But I suppose I'm pessimistic about that working, but that is a possibility. Dale?
Yep. Congressman Ryan cited a need to spend more family time as one of his concerns about taking the House Speaker job, and that sparked a little bit of debate in terms of more family leave. Do you anticipate continued discussions on this matter and which way it'll possibly head?
I think that right now, with the economy being as slow as it is recovering, participation in the labor market at the lowest it's been since 1977, even though unemployment is down, and with people that have money to invest to create jobs not willing to do it because they don't know what government's going to do through spending or taxes or regulation to really question whether the risk is worth it. I doubt if we're going to have any more legislation that makes running a small, particularly a small business, any more risky. And then I would finally say that any member of Congress wanting to spend more time with his family, and most of that's on a weekend when Congress isn't in session, I'm not sure it's appropriate to equate a congressman saying that with a lot of legislation that would be very harmful to small business. Josh?
All right, my final one here. talk a little bit about this pork in the prisons.
Yeah.
Now, the Bureau of Prisons were going to pull pork from menus, or they did,
yeah.
And you responded how, and what
yeah.
was their decision?
Well, I read about it from journalists. Didn't make sense to me. Spending taxpayers' money to take a survey, and then saying that the survey, the prisoners said that they didn't want pork. Now we've read the survey and found out that the prisoners like pork. So why did they want to take pork off? I don't know. But there's also a good government interest of wasting that kind of money. There's also a good a government interest in whether or not you ought to ask the prisoners what they want to eat. But there's also an economic interest for Iowa being the number one pork in the state. So I wrote a letter questioning it. And 24 hours later, they reversed their opinion. And it's the quickest I've ever got any response from the bureaucracy. Dale, if you can ask a question very quickly, I'll try to take care of you.
Just give us your thoughts on last night's Republican debate.
Well, I won't give you a thought on the Republicans, but I'm going to give you a thought on CNBC journalists asking the questions that they were very inappropriate, they were very juvenile, they were very unrelated to the real problems that face America, and it was they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Thank you, Josh and Dale, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.